Pacers Good Thursday News. Remember tonight at 7:30, unless there's a shortage in the food line. We've always been accepting of that fact. We hope the kitchen will be able to organize appropriately so that food will be on time. If not, then you will not be penalized. But 7:30 begins the teaching of the Russian language. We're engaged in language study. Thereafter, there will be some review of some important matters of decision and some high points of news. It is a people's rally occasion, actually, possibly, because of circumstances in the past test. I wish all the tests that have failed, some fine people that have failed, we want to get them help so they can get through. So will you please, teacher graders, read them off, but then pass the test to me for review. The celebration here in Addis Ababa of the anniversary of the fall of the Ethiopian emperor Haile Selassie, that many throughout the Caribbean capitalist world thought of the Messiah return, was the occasion for joint discussions between numerous representatives of socialist communist countries and national liberation movements, especially concerning the situation in southern Africa in the neo-fascist regime that's upheld entirely by U.S. multinationals and our tax dollars to our sorrow. I would advise that you listen, because the test will be more severe this time. To shut me out will be only to hurt yourself and require 5 extra classes. Among those conferring were Cuban President Fidel Castro and Zimbabwe, or what the white man calls Rhodesian leaders, Joshua N. Nkoma, nationalist, and Robert Mugabe, Marxist-Leninist. The latter two sat side by side at this last week's opening here of the Afro-Asian Solidarity Conference. In a radio broadcast, Mugabe, Marxist-Leninist, said he and Nkoma, nationalist, were in agreement that no useful purpose would come from any meeting with Rhodesian white government head Ian Smith. He said the Patriotic Front, the only representative government, Zimbabwean Patriotic Front, that represents 97% of the people, and their leaders agree, and the Patriotic Front, the only way to his Smith's overthrow is through armed struggle with its intensification as much as possible. Beirut. The leadership of the Palestine Liberation Organization held an extraordinary meeting this weekend last in the wake of the Carter-Sadat-Begin agreement reached the previous days at Camp David, Maryland. The meeting was attempted by all factions of the PLO, including representatives of the Rejection Front, who have boycotted most recent Executive Council meetings. The meetings called for a general strike by Palestinians inside and outside the Israeli fascist-occupied territories, South Lebanon, West Bank that they conquered from Jordan, and the Gaza Strip that they took from Egypt, to indicate the rejection of the Camp David sellout agreements held by Carter near Washington. Gathered on the eve of the special meeting of progressive Arab forces were Libya, Democratic Yemen, Syria, Algeria, and scheduled for the following day in Damascus, Syria, Palestinian Liberation Organization, Palestinian Liberation Front, and the Steadfastness Front Conference will bear great responsibility and faces its decisive test in the eyes of the Palestinian masses. As you are probably now aware, Saudi Arabia, one of the richest nations in the world, richest only second to the Soviet Union, and then follows the Shah. So it will be notable that the United States has lost much in this sellout to Zionist forces. Seems the presence of so many Jewish people who have been deceived by Zionism has caused the United States foreign policy to take a turn to madness. Much to our sorrow. Washington, saying the Camp David conference had sold the Palestinians completely down the river. Senator James Aborzek, A-B-O-U-R-Z-E-K, Democrat, South Dakota, said yesterday in a speech on the floor of the Senate, "The dreaded hour has finally arrived. The separate peace treaty between Egypt and Israel, which President Sadat swore would not come from him, and for which Israel has hoped for so long a time, has come." Now, with the inclusion of Carter, said Senator Aborzek, a brave, most brave senator probably left in the United States. He's gone under much reprisals too, smears in the press and intimidation by government agencies such as IRS. He said, now with the inclusion of Carter, what was reprehensible last year has become a great victory. The continued denial of self-determination for the Palestinians is given a sheen and a gloss designed to cover what it really is, an Israeli fascist occupation under a different name, said Senator Aborzek. Bravo to such courage. The nationwide dock workers, Sydney, Australia. The dock workers' strike in Australia went into its third day. Losses from the strike are estimated at over 20 million. As it has begun again, the strike began when 55 maintenance workers at the container terminals in Melbourne of C-Train, the U.S. firm, went on strike for higher wages. USA monopoly capitalism, as you know, controls 66% of the wealth, most of the wealth of all the capitalist nations. Nearly all of Canada belongs to U.S. multinational neo-fascist corporations backed up by the military-industrial complex of USA, of finance monopoly capitalism, and the might of the garrison state of USA, imperialism, and its military-industrial complex. In retaliation, management laid off 2,600 dock workers with permission of the conservative government of Premier Malcolm Fraser. Dock workers then went on nationwide strike, joined by oil refinery workers. Nairobi. 17 officers of the Somali army have been shot before firing squads because of the opposition to the policy of dictator Mohamed Siad, S-I-A-D, Barre, B-A-R-R-E. It was announced yesterday over Somali radio, Mogadishu, M-O-G-A-D-I-S-H-U. Without trial, that is Somalia, backed by U.S. capitalism and the erroneous and completely stupid foreign policy of mainland China. 30 other officers received prison sentences of a maximum. They must serve minimum, of 20 to 30 years of hard labor. Lisbon, an estimated 600,000 Portuguese gathered yesterday for 3 days of the annual festival of the Communist Party newspaper Avante, A-V-A-N-T-E. The paper called it the most beautiful and fraternal, most varied and largest festival ever held in Portugal. As you know, Portugal has been bending severely due to IMF, International Monetary Fund pressure. The event featured cultural activities on four separate stages involving 410 artists, 170 from other countries, including Bassett Charlie Hayden of the United States. In a speech before a rally of 250,000, PCP General Secretary Alvaro Cunhal, speaking on the eve of the fall of the government of socialist leader Mario Soares, brave socialist that he was, once again appealed to socialists to form an alliance with the communists and all other elements of the left to restore socialism to Portugal. Paris. Close to 1 million people gathered two weekends, this weekend and the weekend last, for the annual festival of the French Communist Party newspaper El Humanité, L-H-U-M-A-N-I-T-E. Representatives of 65 other communist parties, progressive organizations, and national liberation movements participated in the events, an international city set up on the northern outskirts of Paris. During the course of the Fête de l'Humanité, 8,047 people joined the Communist Party and 7,473 signed up with the Young Communist League, as communism is definitely on the upsurge throughout the European nations. The paper got 7,103 new subscriptions, the French Communist Party newspaper, that is, L'Humanité. Paris again, tens of thousands of demonstrators fill the streets here under the banner, halt the massacres in Iran, solidarity with the Iranian people. The demonstration represented the unity of an action of left and progressive forces in France, with some 16 mass organizations and parties issuing the call, including the French Communist, Socialist, and Left Radical parties. All three major trade union organizations and youth organizations, the government France is an accomplice by its silence. All agreed this to be the case, Socialist, Communist, and Left Radical parties. The government of France is an accomplice by silence, said they. The appeal signed by 16 organizations said is nothing but a sellout and a silence of consent of oppression in Iran. Same in the United States, when there was no demonstrations. That's what's so hopeless about the United States. There are thousands of Iranians living in the United States. There were very little demonstrations against the many murders that have been conducted recently by the Shah of Iran. Kuwait, according to the news service of United Emirates, E-M-I-R-A-T-E-S, Yasser, A-Y-A-S-S-E-R, Arafat, A-R-A-F-A-T, chairman of the executive committee of the Palestine Liberation Organization, said here recently that the efforts of mediation between the Republic of Yemen and the People's Democratic Republic of Yemen, a pro-Soviet ally, had been successful, and that both sides had agreed to meet shortly to discuss differences that have arisen between the two countries. We're glad for peace wherever it can be found. The world is desperately in need of peace. Continuing with the news. Radio Moscow. Ethiopia and the Soviet Union have reaffirmed their agreements to develop cooperation between their two countries as they draw closer and closer in the strongest of alliances. Members of the Human Rights Commission of the Organization of American States have arrived in the capital of the dictatorship of Nicaragua under Somoza, who was placed in power by the U.S. Marines many years ago, to begin an inquiry into the human rights violations by the Somoza military regime. The dictator's troops killed at least 10,000 people during the suppression of the popular uprising. More than 25,000 men, women have left the country, and many more are missing. The ones that did escape missed the reprisals. As you know, just yesterday, hundreds were blown out of the water by U.S.-provided planes and artillery hardware. Shouldn't make all of us feel guilty, and anyone guilty who thinks about going back to the United States. So sick of the vomitus of it. And as I said, the office will take care of the matter from now on. The presidents of Venezuela and Colombia have called on the United Nations to investigate the violations of human rights in Nicaragua. Vietnam declared another protest against China's violation of her borders by Chinese servicemen and ships. A spokesman for Vietnam's foreign minister handed over a note to the Chinese embassy in Hanoi. The note listed all cases in violation since the beginning of last month. A similar protest was filed on September 15. It pointed out that Chinese servicemen had repeatedly crossed over into the Vietnamese Reunified Socialist Territory, which is an ally of the Soviet Union, and fired at Vietnamese vessels destroying fishing tackle. The countries of the Council of Mutual Economic Assistance will help Vietnam to continue building the project on which China declined technical assistance. The decision is being adopted by the Council's executives and their communique, says that Vietnam will also be assisted in completing the restoration of the railway between Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh City, which was formerly Saigon under the imperialist control of USA. At Ethiopia's request, the session worked out the guidelines for cooperation of West African countries. It also discussed ways of helping Angola in its agricultural development. Since October of last year, the number of factory and other workers in the Soviet Union has increased by 2,300,000 and now exceeds 107 million. There is no unemployment in the Soviet Union. The Soviet Constitution guarantees everyone a job. These figures of unemployment have been released in Moscow in connection with the first anniversary of the new Soviet Constitution, which we all must be listening to, as Jerry will be reading to us this day. This coming Saturday will be the celebration of the first anniversary of the new Soviet Constitution. We should write up a petition here and send it in to the embassy showing our deep and abiding loyalty to the USSR for being the avant-garde of liberation all throughout Africa and the world. The Constitution guarantees each person the right to work. There will be an economic plan drawn up to ensure production prospers, prosperity with the new workforce. Doctors at the Moscow Surgery Center have restored, after several hours of being separated, the hand of a patient who lost four fingers in an accident. The operation lasted 12 hours, the surgical teams changing every 2 hours. This enables the surgical team to better concentrate on complex jobs of suturing the tiniest blood vessels and nerves. There have been 5 cases of Moscow surgeons now restoring hands in recent months. Microsurgery of vessels is now repeatedly developing branch, a completely new branch of medicine. Only in the Soviet Union does it take place. The centers in Moscow, Leningrad, and Kyiv in the Soviet Union. Similar centers are being opened in other cities. All medical care, including surgery of any advanced nature, even cosmetic surgery, is free to all in the Soviet Union. Would anyone want that kind of assurance? Would not anyone give their life to see their children and their loved ones live under that kind of security? The Soviet Union has launched a space cargo ship which will take food, equipment, and fuel to the cosmonauts who have been working abroad aboard the satellite space station for 112 days. Leonid Brezhnev has stated that a good harvest has been won in many parts of the Soviet Union. SWAPO, Southwest African People's Organization, will step up the armed struggle according to Marxist-Leninist doctrine for the true independence of Namibia, having discounted the United Nations resolution as did Czechoslovakia and USSR voting against it because it did not grant them the independence that any people with pride would require. The new South African Prime Minister has declared that his country refuses to carry through the United Nations plan for Namibia and intends to hold elections in December under South Africa's control. Radio Moscow's observers said in comment, the refusal to go by the settlement plans proposed by the United Nations Security Council showed that the South African ruling circles, fascist circles upheld by U.S. imperialism, want to preserve their rule in Namibia with the help of strength of USA capitalists. The last few months have made it obvious that Southwest African People's Organization, SWAPO, will win if general free elections are held in Namibia. In its persistent struggle for Namibia's genuine independence, SWAPO has won itself a high repute in the country. It has left other puppet parties backed by South Africa with no chance for a political future. It is common knowledge that the Western powers largely depend upon South Africa for imports of strategically important minerals, and thus USA is willing to turn its head and not speak at all of human rights in the hypocrisy of Carter because they need the minerals of the Union of South Africa that is brought by the sweat of black slaves and Indian slaves from that regime, apartheid regime, which means it's just as it sounds, apartness. With its dubious statements, the new South African administration would like to bring pressure on the imperialist Western powers headed by USA and force them into maneuvers aimed at setting up a puppet state in Namibia. The racists have already done something in this direction. The intentions of Western foreign ministers to pay a visit to Pretoria, the capital of the fascist regime of Union of South Africa, once again, following the new prime minister's statement, is a case in point. Events in Namibia and around it indicate that the time is right for taking the most decisive action against the South African racist. That was exactly the point made by the foreign minister of Cameroon, C-A-M-E-R-O-O-N, I think. The point made by the foreign minister of the Cameroon at the current session of the United Nations General Assembly. He stressed his statement that the United Nations Security Council must apply Article 7 of the United Nations Charter to South Africa, limiting the introductions of compulsory international factions. The Soviet Union's stand on the Namibian issue is consistent and clear-cut. The Soviet Union insists on South Africa's immediate withdrawal from Namibia. It fully backs the demands put forward by SWAPO, Southwest African People's Organization. The organization presses for the withdrawal of all the occupation forces from Namibian territory, Union of South Africa backed by U.S. imperialism, liberation of all political prisoners, and the holding of free elections under United Nations supervision without U.S. intervention. When the conditions are met, the road will be clear to general solution of the Namibian problem. The Mongolian capital was the site of the regular meeting of the Council of Mutual Economic Assistance. This international economic organization is comprised of member organizations, the Socialist Community, Bulgaria, Hungary, the German Democratic Republic, the modern East German Communist Nation, Cuba, Mongolia, Romania, the Soviet Union, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Vietnam. The participants were representatives of each country's head of state. The meeting was held in an air of friendship, understanding, and the closest unity that has ever been noted in this great conclave. The price of gold reached a world record level today as the U.S. dollar continued its decline in value against major currencies. On the London bullion market, the gold price reached a level of $223 an ounce. On the foreign exchange market, the dollar fell to new lower points against the German mark, the Dutch schelder, and the Belgian franc. The West German Bank intervened to support the dollar. Heavy artillery batteries have been continuing in Beirut, once the most beautiful capital outside of any capital in the world, with the exchange of fire in many parts of the city due to the fact of Israeli-backed Zionist aggressors, Christian militia. The Christian fascist militiamen are encircling in East Beirut, and Syrian troops who are pro-Soviet, the Arab peacekeeping forces, are surrounded in other areas. Both sides seem determined to fight it out. The shelling continues in the already badly damaged area, and the people are without water and power. It is a frightful sight to see this once most modern and beautiful city of the world just simply brought into ruins. The funeral of Pope John Paul has taken place in St. Peter's Square in Rome. 100,000 people were in attendance. The usual mourning was not noted. He was only 24 days, the representative of Christ on earth. Seems that God is having difficulty keeping his popes alive these days. President Sadat, our dictator Sadat of Egypt, has appointed a new commander-in-chief of the armed forces and minister of defense. The general was formerly in charge of the government's intelligence department. Ethiopia has issued a warning to the new Somalian act of aggression towards it. The USSR and Cuba has backed that warning also. There are reports that Ethiopia intends to attack Somalia, although the Ethiopian government has clearly refuted these allegations. Mexico and Panama have condemned the crimes of the Somoza regime and USA for backing that regime. Since the invasion by the Marines that put Somoza in power, U.S. Marines put him in power in Nicaragua. The Mexican foreign minister, addressing the United Nations General Assembly, accused dictator Somoza of pursuing a policy of absolute genocide of his own people. Panama's foreign minister called on the United Nations to seek the necessary steps to put an end to the killings in Nicaragua. Said if it's not stopped, he will kill his entire population to remain in power over nothing but rubble. He said the situation in that country jeopardized peace in Latin America. He pointed out that this government has information that reactionary circles in the United States and elsewhere on the continent are preparing a new conflict between Honduras and Salvador so as to divert attention from the events in Nicaragua. Panama has been taking an increasingly brave stand against imperialism, Washington style. The Washington Post Foreign Edition has said that the CIA and FBI and other U.S. secret services are conducting a total surveillance of America. Special police divisions were set up to increase surveillance. The main task of these divisions is to keep tabs on progressive-minded people. Their work is primarily aimed against anti-war and civil rights organizations and minority groups who are calling for an end to racial discrimination. Complete electronic surveillance has been brought about. Needless to say, this does not even begin to tell the kind of recriminations, persecutions, and harassment that is done to people like ourselves who call themselves what they are openly, socialist, Marxist, Leninist. Carter has lifted the embargo on arms, despite his promise to do otherwise. All of his election promises have been broken. He lifted the embargo today to Turkey, fascist Turkey, who has been known for its aggressive and bellicose actions for years, just right under the Soviet Union on the Black Sea. The embargo was enforced 3 years ago, following the dispatch of Turkish troops in aggression to Cyprus. The resumption of American military aid to Turkey has caused grave concern in Greece and Cyprus and could cause a tremendous strained relation. Just as a point of view of the opposition, the proposed visit to Guyana of President Carlos Andres, A-N-D-R-E-S, Perez, will be used by the regime to raise hopes of more loans from our oil-rich neighbor. This is the consensus of a number of knowledgeable persons who have been watching the antics of our bankrupt regime. Friendly, however, his sources say, very versed in Venezuelan constitutional and political norms, have declared that the proposed visit will merely be friendly. Indeed, it will only improve relations with that country. The reason for this is that Senor Perez, P-E-R-E-Z, President of Venezuela, is very much on the way out from the presidency. Elections take place within a few weeks, and Perez can take no initiative regarding economic aid or border negotiations. We are in a border dispute, as you know, that must be resolved by 1980. Loan. However, it was during Perez's administration that Venezuela made a loan in 1974 to the Republic of Guyana during severe financial stress. The regime had been hoping that now that the country is further in the slough of debts, Venezuela would have helped again. But like Trinidad and Tobago, which had at the time made a loan, has been no response to feelers. It is believed that the reason for this non-response is the inability of Guyana to repay as was agreed upon. Observers believe that it was certainly a wonderful greeting and gesture to Guyana to have received a loan from Perez, whose party Action Democratic, has never been on the best terms with this country. Our beloved Guyana, under our party, the Vanguard, PNC, the People's National Congress, and our Prime Minister, Forbes Burnham. Uprising. It was Action Democratic with Leon, L-E-O-N-E, as president, that aided those who brought about the Rupununi Uprising. It was also an Acción Democratic government, which proclaimed a decree remaining regarding Guyana's rights to certain maritime limits. As for the protocol of the Port of Spain, it has never been ratified by the Venezuelan Congress. due mainly to opposition from members of Acción, ECCION Democratic. It was COPEI, COPEI administration of Rafael Calderia, CALDERIA, which worked out the Port of Spain Accord.